Part of getting our nice new faith lift is waiting, learning to trust, growing in courage. Nehemiah desires become his burden as he waits. And as he learns, his burdens will later become his vision. Think about this. Think about this. His desire will become his burden, and his burden will become his vision.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome back to In Christ Radio. We are going verse by verse through the book of Nehemiah in a series titled Hope Restored. So far, we've seen burden turn into prayer, and prayer begin building spiritual strength. Today, in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the waiting season starts giving away to movement. For months, Nehemiah's prayed quietly, but now God places him directly in front of an open door. The king asks him what he wants, and before responding, Nehemiah prays one more time. Then he steps forward in faith. Soon, Nehemiah will begin the journey toward Jerusalem and face even greater opposition. But this moment reminds us that rebuilding begins when faith stops sitting still. Private prayer prepares believers for public faith. Sometimes the greatest faith lift happens when we stop waiting for certainty and start trusting God enough to move forward. Today, let's ask ourselves, what would change in your life if you trusted God enough to take the next faithful step today? Let's join Pastor Ben in today's teaching. It's time for a faith lift from Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Here's Pastor Ben.
Nehemiah was a man of compassion. Nehemiah was a man of prayer. And again, mirroring my life to them, are we fully devoted followers that are people of prayer? Of prayer. Are we praying? Nehemiah was a man who was available. Available. Send me, Lord. Isaiah said, send me. Who's going to go? Send me. Send me. You go, send me. I live in Lubbock. No. Send me could mean wherever you are. Wherever you are. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 4 says this, and so it was when I heard these words. Look at the heart of Nehemiah. I sat down, I wept, I mourned for many days. And I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Now, if you're taking notes at this point in our study, we could ask some very important questions. You go, well, like what? Well, how long did Nehemiah pray and fast? How long? How long was it before God answered? How long before God's plan to restore and to move forward? Well, chapter 2 gives us some insights into those very questions. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1 says, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now, I had never been sad in his presence before. Now, let's do some work here, guys. I want to do some work so you get a full understanding. Don't be afraid to write in your Bibles. But according to astronomers, in 445 BC, the month of Nisan began in the equivalent of March 14th in our calendar. So you can write down March 14th is when this is all going down. This also is the start of Daniel 77s. So from here, it runs 69 weeks, and that's a whole nother study for the book of Daniel. Now, remember when all this started? It all started in December, according to chapter 1, verse 1. Okay? In Chislev, guys, in your Bible, circle that. You can put December. Nisan is March. So from December to March, you go, Pastor, what's your point? That's when he heard the bad news in December. In December, and so now, what did he do? He prayed and fasted for 4 months. Prayed and fasted. And I find this amazing. You go, how so? Nehemiah had the faith to wait, to wait. See, church, listen, oftentimes we get so impatient in prayer. Okay, let's pray. Everybody's going to pray. And we want God to end. We live in such a microwavable, let's go very fast world that when we begin to pray, we just want God to answer. And I do too. I get it. But we get impatient with prayer. Because if you and I were to have a four-hour prayer meeting, we would get up and go, okay, where's the answer? How come God hasn't answered? What if he hasn't answered us in 4 days? And what if God doesn't answer your prayer for 4 weeks? Is that when we give up? What's the timeline? Some of us give up if God doesn't answer our prayer after 4 minutes. But think about this. What a great, great applicational verse. He prayed and he waited. And he waited and he prayed. And I think sometimes we go, all right, we're going to pray. And then we want to jump. And sometimes God says, whoa. I hadn't spoke yet. Hold on. You go, Pastor, what's your point? At this point, here's what I'm thinking, okay? Why? Why does God have Nehemiah wait? I'll tell you why. You ready? Jot this down. God is building Nehemiah's faith. He's building his faith first. First phase of his faith lift. Right here. Just wait. Hold on. I got to be honest with you. None of us like waiting rooms, do we? That's because that's what they make us do. You guys go to the doctor, it's all about waiting. Okay? You come in, you go, hey, I had an appointment. I had an appointment at 5, or wait a minute, no, well, doctors don't see you at 5. Okay, at 11:30. I had an appointment at 11:30, and so you get there at 11:15. If you're Joe Mabry, you get there at 10, but that's a whole nother story. And so you go in, and what do? You sign in, and then they say, go have a seat. We'll call you when you're ready. So you're waiting, and you're waiting, you're watching, and you're people watching, and you're looking in the magazine. It's 11:35, 11:40, 11:45, 11:50. And then all of a sudden, you're like, hey, maybe they forgot about me. And they're like, no. Then they call you back, and what do? They call you back into the little cold room, and you sit down in the cold room, and then you have to wait some more. That's hard. You wait. I'll never forget the only time that Nathalie and I, it was the only time we had a doctor's appointment, an oncologist appointment. We went over to Joe Arrington. We sat there. They called us back into the little room. They did her wait. They did all the thing. The nurse came in, did all the stuff and said, okay, the doctor will be right with you. We waited there for about an hour and no doctor. Now we're getting nervous. I mean, we're just in there, right? And I'm opening drawers and looking for rubber gloves and all that stuff, right? Because it's been an hour, right? So I start blowing. No, I didn't blow that look. He's looking at me like, that's what you do? No, they had forgot about us. The doctor comes in, I'm sorry, we forgot. Oh. That's the only time that we waited. And you go, Pastor, what's your point? Here's the point. God's waiting room is really, really hard. God's waiting room is hard. And so the point is when next time that you're waiting and you're praying and you're seeking God and you're wanting an answer and he's telling you wait, he's building your faith. He's building your faith. God is building Nehemiah's faith. Think about this. Part of waiting as we pray builds our faith. God so often works this way in our lives. Man, we're hasty. We're impatient creatures. We want our prayers answered when? Tomorrow or even yesterday. Come on, Lord. We pray and we expect God to answer right away, but listen closely. God at times will often delay his answers. And it's not because he's unable or he's unwilling. That's not why. There is so much teaching in the Bible that teaches us that delayed prayers does not indicate an unable, an unwilling God. We are taught in the Word of God over and over again to persevere in prayer, to keep praying till the answer comes. We keep on knocking. We keep on praying. We keep on praying. Hey, remember the people that you started praying for when you first got saved? Are you still praying for them? Oh, yeah, my classmates. Yeah. Keep praying. Part of getting our nice new faith lift is waiting, learning to trust, growing in courage. Nehemiah desires become, listen, his burden as he waits. And as he learns his burdens will later become his vision. Think about this. His desire will become his burden, and his burden will become his vision. Now, waiting on God, I'm with you. It's really, really hard. What are you doing? I'm waiting. And I'm not sugarcoating this and going, come on, just wait. What are you doing? The struggle's real. It's hard to wait on God. But think about this. God is always working behind the scenes. He's growing our faith for the task at hand. And if we're going to have our hope restored so we can continue to build our lives and grow in who God is, part of that is waiting on God. We're asked to join the work, but God is the one who builds and restores. Again, let's look at our text as we keep moving on. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, March 14th, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now, I had never been sad in his presence before. I want you to see that last part, okay? So Nehemiah writes, I've never been sad in his presence before. Now, this is interesting. Why? For 4 months, Nehemiah had a desire, and he's had a burden, but he still does his job undetected. He still does his job undetected. Now, what you need to know is back in this day, it was a federal crime to be sad in the presence of the king. Can you imagine? The idea here is the king was such a wonderful person that merely being in his presence was supposed to make you forget all your problems. When Nehemiah looked sad, it could have been taken as a terrible insult to the king, punishable by death. I think we can learn something from this, don't you? If it was a federal crime to look sad, to be sad in the presence of the king, man, I just think about this. If our king is Jesus, why are we so sad in his presence? He is the only one who brings true joy. He's the presence of our king. So Nehemiah, there he is. Now, think about this. Okay? He's the king cupbearer. You got to put two and two together. Okay? So he comes in and the king notices. He's like, So the king looks at him in verse 2. Therefore the king said to me, "Why is your face sad since you're not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart." Notice Nehemiah. "So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire?'" You remember I told you that part of waiting, God is working behind the scenes? Do you remember that? So I believe God is working on the king. But there's some things going on here that we have to address. You go, why? Although the king notices Nehemiah's changes in his appearance and says, this is due to some inner grief or wickedness of heart. And as I was studying this, one school of thought, let me give you this one school of thought. It was Rashi who interprets these words as indicating that the king believed Nehemiah was planning to poison him. He gets this from Nehemiah's response when he said, "And I became dreadfully afraid." So one guy says, man, the king looks and says, "Why? What's going on? Why? Were you planning to poison me?" And Nehemiah goes, busted, I'm caught. You ever been there? Ever been there when you're planning to do something and you get caught? And so now you're just kind of backtrack and try to figure out how you're going to get out of this. But I believe that God was working far better than what Rashi here interprets. I believe instead of being offended by Nehemiah's countenance, he was concerned, and I believe that was from God, working behind the scenes on the king. On the king. Listen, he does the same for you. He does the same for you. We have been praying for Matt to go to Days for a long time, and we continue to pray, but God is working behind the scenes because when that happens, it needs to be a great and a smooth transition. But like Nehemiah, Matt still does what he's supposed to do while waiting. But God's working behind the scenes. He's preparing things that you can't see. And sometimes we get frustrated. Lord, we've been praying for almost a year now. What gives, bro? What's the deal? And God's like, hold on. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be far better than you can expect. And that's what I think is happening here with the king. Why? Because our Heavenly Father always is preparing people, right, for the journey, always. And so Nehemiah says, what does he say, guys? May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the whole city? Now, again, when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies in waste and its gates are burned with fire. Here's what you need to know on this. Let me give you this side notes, okay? The Jews here had a tremendous respect for the dead and the bodies of the dead. As a matter of fact, if you were building a new building there in Jerusalem and came across a tomb, the whole project would stop. The rabbis are called in and the bones would be removed and all of that. So they had a huge respect and honor for the dead. Well, the Persians also had that same kind of respect for the dead in the tombs. Okay? So when Nehemiah brings up the fact that the burial places of his father is lying in waste, well, that hits an area that would be sensitive to the king. To the king. Here's what I want you to see, guys. Go back real quick. Go back to verse 2. Because I want to point something out. Therefore, the king said to me, why is your face sad? Now, Nehemiah's already freaking out. And he says, why is your face sad since you're not sick? This is nothing but the sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid. Notice verse 3. I want you to see verse 3. And I said to the king, may the king live forever. Now, I want you to insert, what would you say to the king if that was you? The point is, guys, is that Nehemiah has been praying. He's been fasting. The power of the Holy Spirit. And what I love about Nehemiah is he just is just honest to his boss. He's just honest. Can you imagine walking in with the king and you're the cupbearer and you got this big job and the king looks and goes, hey, what's up? Why are you so sad? And you're just like, oh, I'm not sad. You know, what would you say? How would you try to wiggle your way out of this? And the lesson that I want you to see is God says, listen, just be honest. Just be truthful. And he says, why, king, when I heard some bad news and the place of my father's tombs lies in waste and the gates, well, they're burned with fire. Why? Verse 4, then the king said to me, what do you request? And so I prayed to the God of heaven, God of heaven. Now, that only brings us to verse 4, but think about this. I want to show you something right here, okay? Next week, guys, we're going to see part 2 of this, but think about what he said right here. This is all going down right before him. It's happening so fast. And the king says something that he probably blew him away. He said, what do you need? What do you want? And he says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. Quickly. Knowing his prayer had been answered, Nehemiah prays again. But I want you to see, this was not a long, extended prayer. I mean, think about this. He could have said, hold on, king. Let me pray about it for you a few days, and I'll get back to you. Instead, this was an immediate, silent, help me, Lord, prayer. Nehemiah, at this point, knew this was an incredible opportunity, and he didn't want to miss this chance. Guys, there are times when we'll gather together, and we'll pray. And we'll pray for an hour, or we'll pray for whatever it takes. And there are times when you need to pray very quickly and say, Lord, help me. Give me wisdom. Help me take that next step. What do I need to do? I'll tell you when it comes specifically when a friend of yours, you're in a spiritual conversation and it's a very tough question and they'll hit you up with something and you're like, oh, Lord, well, hold on. Let me study. Give me a few weeks to get in the Word of God. Sometimes you need just a quick, very good response. But let me just say this to you. Whenever somebody comes with a question to you, in whatever shape or form, take a moment to pray. Take a moment to pray. God, what am I really supposed to answer here? What's the real underlining issue? There are people who want to know about Jesus, and there are people that just want to mock you. You need to know the difference. There are people that just want to get in an argument with you, and they want to just try to trap you up, and they know the Word of God more than you, but you need to pray for a moment. Okay, Lord, help me. Help me. There are things that need to be said and there are things that not need to be said. There are things that need to pray for in other parts. Nehemiah goes, oh my goodness, this has came fast. What do you want? What do you request? Oh, 4 days. I don't know what he's going to request. You know he's going to request something, but I love that he prayed to the God of heaven. Of heaven. Let me say this. Today, Nehemiah had the faith to wait. God is already moving. God is 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 moving behind the scenes. God is moving in front. God is moving in Nehemiah, and God is moving in your heart. But next week, we want to see that Nehemiah has the faith to ask. To ask. But tonight, as we close, let's talk takeaways. Let's talk takeaways, okay? We have the faith to wait. Now we have the faith to ask. But remember, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us this. When it comes to faith, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Where do you get faith from? The word of God. What do? You read the word. You're not going to grow faith by watching TV or watching the news and looking at the internet and all that stuff. That's not going to bring faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. That's the first thing. We grow in our faith when we study, when we hear God's word. Can I get an amen? Number two, we cannot please God without faith. Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Why? For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Guys, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Last but not least, Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9 says this, for grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, let anyone should boast. It's by faith that you're saved. Tonight, we have faith to wait. Wait as God moves in your life. Wait that he's working behind the scene. Just wait. Just have that faith. What do we do while we're waiting? Serve. What do waiters do? They serve. That's what we need to do. Just serve the Lord till he answers us. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you're growing our faith, Lord. You're growing us in faith, Lord, and the faith to wait, and the faith to walk, the faith to ask, Nehemiah, we're going to see the courage that comes behind that. Father, we needed our faith a little bit lifted tonight. We need you, Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, we're going to take a minute to pray. I pray, Lord, that our church would be a church that is courageous and has the faith to see you move mountains, that, Lord, we would have that mustard seed of faith, God, to see you do big things. Father, you're so amazing and so wonderful. And I pray tonight, I pray for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, God, to walk by faith, to walk in you, Lord. And so we love you tonight. Lord Jesus, if anyone is struggling in our faith, they can honestly confess that to you. Lord, I've just struggled. I've blown it, God. Lord, use us. Use this church, God, to be a light to that, to people like that precious sister. Lord, if that sister has made some bad choices, even knowing you and loving you, Lord, we have a lot in Lubbock, God. We have a lot, Lord. And so use us, God. Use us for your honor and your glory. Build our faith, Lord, as we walk out those doors tonight. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Christ.
Next time on the Hope Restored series, Nehemiah begins laying out the vision God placed on his heart, and we'll discover what happens when prayer turns into planning and how God provides exactly what is needed for the work ahead. That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days. A feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.